If you have your Bibles, if you want to look in your Bibles and follow along, we're in 2 Timothy today. I'm going to talk to you about our theme, which is It's Too Soon to Quit. And the title of the message today really is Vessels of Honor. And we're going to stand and pray, read the word in just a moment. Let me give you a little introduction here. So remember, Paul has been calling Timothy to commitment. He's been calling him to endurance, and he's been using a lot of pictures or metaphors, but the goal of all of this is to win the race in chapter 4. So really, we looked at this from the very beginning as a race that we are to run, so we can get to the place where Paul said, I've finished the race, and we want to finish that race strongly. We want to finish it saying that we have endured and we've kept the commitment all of our lives. So there's these 10 word pictures. They are of a teacher, a soldier. These are all found in chapter 2. An athlete, a farmer. Christ is used as an example. Paul uses himself as an example. There's a trustworthy statement. Jamie talked last week or last time about workmen. And today I'm going to talk about the vessel, and next week we will talk about the servant. I hope to finish both of those today, but then when I realized everything that was going on, I just thought I'm going to play it safe, and we're just going to take a look at one this morning, the vessel. So would you stand, please? I want to give reverence to God's word this morning. I'm reading out of the King James up here. That's what's up here. If you have a different translation you want to follow along, that's fine. It says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you would help us to be vessels of honor. Lord, that we would be sanctified and set apart for your use and your service. Lord, today I pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to each of our hearts, that we could be at the place where you desire us to be. And we thank you that you are here today and that you are working in each individual life. And we give glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a chorus, an old chorus that I grew up singing. And there's some verses to it, but we only ever sang the chorus. And maybe you've heard this, or maybe to some of you it's so old it'll be new. It's to be used of God, to speak, to sing, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming power. To be used by God is my desire. And that really is the heart of the passage this morning. And I want to look at three simple points. We're going to look at the options that are available to us. We're going to look at the opportunities that we all have. And then number three, we're going to look at the obligations that places upon us. So first of all, the options available to us. The first thing we need to do is define our terms. As he talks here about a house, a large house, and he talks about some vessels that are in it. Some of these vessels are honorable and some are dishonorable. And back in verse 19, it's where Paul first introduced the image of a house or a building. He says in verse 19, the MEV puts it this way, but the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The ESV says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So there are some options that we have here, but we notice, first of all, that this foundation is the main part of the building, right? I mean, what kind of building would you have if you didn't have a solid foundation? But the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who calls on the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So who really is this foundation? Well, if we go back to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus takes His disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and He talks to them about building His church. First of all, He asked them, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Remember Peter's confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He wasn't really referring to Peter. What He was referring to was Peter's confession that Christ is the Son of the living God. Upon that profession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And here we have this idea of a household again. Having been built upon the foundation, there we have the foundation again. The foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the entire building, tightly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. And so the church is a house that is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And this house has a twofold superscription written on it. The first is, the Lord knoweth those who are His. That part is not really seen. Only the Lord truly knows those who are His. And then it says, let everyone who calls on the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is the part that you can see. So the house that is built here is the church. And verse 20 carries forth this image of a great house. But the focus is not on the foundation now. It's not on the foundation of the house, but rather the focus is on the contents of the house. So here we are, the family of God. We are the household of God. In 1 Timothy, we see the same thing. Paul says, but if I am delayed, you might know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is what? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. When the world needs to find truth, you know who the world should go to? The world should go to the truth, to church, because the church should have the truth, right? Notice the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. And then within this church are vessels. These are individual believers that make up the contents of the house. That's how we're pictured this morning. We're pictured as vessels that God uses within His household. And we often read about vessels in the New Testament and how they relate to us as the church. In Romans chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, in order to make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He previously prepared for glory, even us, whom He has called out, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, not only from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. So the church there, if you notice that, make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy. God has said, you and I are to be vessels of mercy. In Acts chapter 9, Saul is converted. God tells Ananias to go to him and tell him he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name to the Gentiles. Do you know that you are chosen of God to bear His name? Not just Saul, all of us. We are chosen for a purpose. We are chosen to be a vessel of honor for God, to glorify Him in all that we do. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency of the power being from God and not from ourselves. That passage is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the treasure. He's the hidden treasure inside of your body and inside of your life as you become a vessel. You become a container for the presence of God so that the Holy Spirit can work in your life. What an amazing thing. You think about that. You have the omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. And you are a container for His glory. There's two options, though. Two kinds of vessels or two kinds of believers in God's house. One is honorable and one is dishonorable. The honorable vessels are those that are used for noble uses. You know, we all have those vessels that we use for special occasions. I think that represents the believers who are faithful and useful for God in His household. There's also those that are not as common, the dishonorable ones. They're not sanctified. We'll talk about sanctification here in a moment. But they're useful for mundane use. They're infants in Christ. They're carnal believers. They're believers, but they're not to the place where God wants them to fully be, where He can use them to glorify Him Himself. So these things that are true in our house is true in God's house as well. Two options. Number one, a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. One that can be used, one really that is disusable. Which means we all have opportunities, and God gives every one of us the opportunity to be a vessel of honor. God gives all of us the opportunity to be a vessel that He can use. You know, nobody can go back and have a new beginning, but everyone can start now and have a new ending. And that's really what God is interested in. It's not really how we begin, it's how we end that counts. So here is the key point, really, the whole message this morning. You are the one who decides. You are the one who decides to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. It's your choice. And the good news is, if you have been a vessel of dishonor, you don't have to stay that way, because God gives you the opportunity to change. The famed Buffalo Bill Wild West show performed throughout Europe during the final years of the 19th century and landed in Berlin, Germany in 1899. The German people, like others in Europe, turned out by the thousands to see the Wild West show. A smashing hit wherever it went, the show featured several entertainers with star power, but none was more compelling than Annie Oakley. She stood less than 5 feet tall, but Oakley was known as the Little Sure Shot, a name that was given to her by Sitting Bull. She beat any male sharpshooter who dared to challenge her. She had amazing sharpshooting tricks as part of her act that included shooting through playing cards she had tossed up in the air. Another was to shoot a metal coin tossed into the air about 27 yards away. Another Oakley staple act was to look into a mirror to shoot an apple placed behind her. She really was one of the early female superstars in show business. But one demonstration that was part of her routine was shooting the ashes off the tip of a large cigar, lit cigar, that was held in someone's mouth. And the act with Oakley began with her asking for a volunteer from the audience. But typically, as you can imagine, no one would volunteer, so her husband, Frank Buckler, who was planted in the audience, would step forward for the show. And when the Wild West show was in Berlin, Annie made her usual request for the cigar trick. This time, someone did stand up to volunteer. It was none other than the newly crowned German Emperor, Kaiser Wilhelm II. And before any of his entourage could talk the Emperor out of it, he stood up, took a cigar, and put it in his mouth. Annie Oakley knew quite well what she had gotten herself into. The Kaiser put the cigar in his mouth, ash at the end of it, and Oakley took aim with her Colt 45. She pulled the trigger, the shot was fired, and the ash was ripped off the cigar just a few inches in front of the Kaiser's face. About 15 years later, Kaiser Wilhelm II plunged the world into the mayhem of World War I. After the start of the war, Annie Oakley sent the Kaiser a letter asking for an opportunity to take a second shot. As the story goes, she never received a reply. But there is an important lesson in there for us. When we have an opportunity in life, we better take it. We might not get a second attempt to take that shot. There's no guarantees in life for a second shot. So don't waste your opportunities. And let me say this too, the longer you or I allow sin in our life, the more it is ingrained and it takes a toll on our life. And so what do we have to do to seize these opportunities? Well, you notice the prerequisite. Verse 21, one who cleanses himself from these things will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. God uses clean vessels for noble purposes. And you get to choose what kind of vessel you're going to be. God is, of course, the one that ultimately changes us and works with us. But what I'm trying to say today is that the impetus, the beginning, that initial decision begins with us. And the text says these things, and I think these things are found later on in verse 22 where he says, so flee youthful lust or youthful desires, these youthful desires and lusts that come with youth. And so an important question for young people today is I just want to ask you, who do you spend time with? That saying is true of the scriptural, bad company corrupts good morals. And there's this threefold promise to those who claim this opportunity and cleanse themselves. Because one who cleanses himself from these things will be, number one, a vessel of honor. Number two, will be sanctified. And number three, will be prepared to be used as a good work for the master. So the first thing there is you will be sanctified. I'm not going to go into this a lot, but sanctified really has two parts to it. It means to be separated from sin and separated unto God. Apart from sin and useful for God. Now, there's three aspects of sanctification. There is a positional sanctification. That is, as we give our life to Christ, we receive Him, we experience sanctification. Our sins are forgiven. And God sets us apart for His special use. But then there is this thing called progressive sanctification. And as we follow Christ, we get more and more set apart from sin, and we are more and more reserved for God. So it's really a process in life. It has to do with our daily walk. I got someone said, they said, the problem with Christianity is that it is so daily. Well, yeah, that's true. It is. Our Christianity is our life. It is our daily walk with Christ. And is that demanding? Yes, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not only a daily walk, but it's a demanding walk. But I'll tell you what, it's also a delightful walk. I would not change the Christian life for anything in the world. And the more we walk with Christ, then we get to this third part of sanctification, which is perfect sanctification. And that is future. That is when we will be perfectly set apart for God. And that'll take place when we get to heaven, when we get in His presence. For when we see Him, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. But not only will we be sanctified, secondly, we will be serviceable. Because you notice here that cleansing precedes consecration for use. It's interesting, the same word is used later on in chapter 4 and verse 11, where Paul says to Timothy, he writes to him, he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful, or he is profitable to me for the ministry. So that word profitable or useful, that's the same word here. It's also used in many other places in the scripture, but I'm not going to go into those this morning. But the third thing is, you'll be suitable. You will be prepared for every good work, which means you will be ready and you will remain so. You will remain ready. Which brings us to the third part of the message this morning, the obligations this places on us. The obligation this places on us, because it doesn't happen automatically. But how does it happen in a practical way of speaking? Well, there are two commands here. The first one is positive or negative, and the second one is positive. The first one is to flee youthful lusts. That's a negative command. Flee youthful lust. You know what the word flee means? It means to run. It means to run. In fact, we get our word fugitive from this word. It means to flee. It means to run for all that you are worth. It means to flee for your life, because your very soul sometimes is at stake. So you need to flee these things. You need to run from them. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that youthful lust, these impulses that especially are tempting to young people, later on, we experience those same things in our life if we don't defeat them when we are younger. You ever look at people and think, you know, that person has really never grown up? There are some people like that. They hadn't learned to deal with the temptations of youth, and they are susceptible to them all their life. You know, temptations such as lust and greed and pride and bitterness and scorn. These are temptations. Yeah, we all face these things in life, but they are especially strong in our youth. But here's the thing. God gives us grace to overcome them when we are young, in our youthful years. But if we don't use the grace to defeat them when we are young, we carry them into adulthood. So many of the problems that people have in adulthood are simply problems that they had in their youth that they never took care of. And they carry them into their adult life. And many of the temptations that defeat us today are temptations we did not overcome in our youthful years when God gave us the grace and the strength to do that. We say, well, Pastor, where do you get that idea? Well, I get it from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. There is a special measure of grace and strength that comes to young people because they live at a time in their life when the heights of temptation are strongest. But the strength here is meant not the natural vigor. It's not just gritting your teeth and say, I'm going to overcome this. But rather, it is a spiritual strength, a strength which is the result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A strength which brings out and consecrates the natural energy that we have that makes this young man with his vigor to be vigorous in the right direction. Often we say, well, there's a young person. If we could only train that young person to go in the right direction, they would be really strong for the Lord. They'd be a great addition to the kingdom of God. They would put Satan away from them. They could be used by God mightily. And that's what we pray for. That's what we want with our young people. Amen? Young person, I hope that's what you want for your life, but you got to realize that you need to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Notice the strength comes from the Word of God living inside of you. Psalm 119 verse 9. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. So fleshly lusts, they war against the soul. And I give you a warning here, all right? Stay away from places, people, and predicaments that will contaminate you. God wants you to be pure. Now, it's not saying you're going to be perfect. You're going to sin. You're going to mess up. But confess those as soon as you can to the Lord. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what about the positive then? That's the negative. So don't flee, just flee youthful lusts, but pursue, which means, again, to run. Run after. And if you notice here, if we were to run away from lust and we were to run toward the things of the Christian life, the Christian's always running. And that, again, that's a major theme here in 2 Timothy. As a Christian, you are always running. You are running from something, and you are running to something else. You are always on the run. Christopher McDougall, in his book, Born to Run, says that every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows that it must outrun the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the slowest gazelle or it will starve. It doesn't matter whether you're the lion or the gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better be running. If the gazelle fails to run, it gets eaten. If the lion fails to run, it has nothing to eat. Both the gazelle and the lion must run for their life. And then this application, and so it is with the Christian. We run from things so we are not eaten and consumed by lust, or we run toward things so we don't starve spiritually. You are running today. Do you realize that? You better be running. You're going to be running away from some things, and you should be running to some other things. Replace the vices with virtues. We're either trapped in our vices that we need to flee from because it holds us captive, or we're running toward the virtues that we find in the Christian life. And if some of them are mentioned here, we run toward righteousness. Sorry, am I a little bit ahead? Righteousness really means a right life in line with what God tells us to do. We're to run toward faith. That some translate this as faithfulness. We are to be faithful to the Lord and our calling in our Christian life. We're to run toward godly love. Not the love that the world has to offer, but God's love, which is pure and unconditional. This kind of love also should be a part of our life. It's a self-sacrificing kind of love. We're willing to sacrifice to be used by God so we can benefit the lives of others. And then we're to run toward peace, calm, harmonious relationships. I want you to know that in the Bible, peace and purity are never far apart from one another. Wherever you find purity, you can find peace. They go together. But here's the thing. Notice that we do not run alone. We are to run with those who call on the Lord out of a pure or a clean heart. Church, we are created for community. We are created to be a household. We are created to be with each other. That's how God made us. He made us to not stand alone, but to need each other and to come alongside of each other and do life together. So there are two options. There are two kinds of vessels. You can be an honorable vessel or a dishonorable vessel. Paul says here, take a look. Because of that, there are opportunities that come your way. And God gives you the opportunity to cleanse your life so that he can use you. But the decision is yours. And then there's an obligation that we have, and that is to, number one, flee youthful lusts. And number two, follow righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace out of a pure heart. One time we went on vacation, and I forgot to clean the coffee pot before we left. I forgot to take out the filter and wash the coffee pot. When I got home and went to make myself a pot of coffee, I was horrified. My coffee pot was defiled. I mean, I went to use my coffee pot and it was unusable. For the first time since I owned it, I wasn't prepared. It wasn't prepared. The grounds were moldy. I thought about just chucking the whole thing away. I don't know if I'll ever be able to drink coffee out of this pot again. But I finally forgave myself for not cleaning it, and I cleaned it out. I took that pot, I carefully cleaned it, and let me tell you, my wife can work magic on coffee pots. She got the rust and everything out of there. It was beautiful. It was shiny. It was usable again. But my first reaction was to throw it away. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that with us? But he's patient with us, and he cleanses us. And we can look brand new again. God is that way with us. He doesn't throw us away, but he does want us to be clean. Are you here today and you want to be used by God? Are you at the place where God can take you up and use you at any time, at any moment, and every day? Because I use my coffee pot every day. And God wants to use me. God wants to use you every day. And you might be wondering if I still use that coffee pot. Well, don't tell Josh, but he has it today. I got a new coffee pot, so I put it on the, we had a little texting group for the family, and I put it on there. Anybody want a coffee pot? Josh said, I'll take it for camping. And anyway, he took it, but I used it for years after that, so it's fine. Do you want to be used by God? The rest of my family is saying, boy, I'm sure glad I didn't offer, say I'd take the pot. No, you were created for God's pleasure. Revelation 4:11, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast what? Created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God created you for his pleasure. God created you to be a vessel of honor. I remember a story back in the Falkland Islands war in 1983. Argentina had invaded the Falkland Islands that were controlled by England, and a war just erupted over that. The British finally ended up being victorious, but only because of a brilliant strategy. There was only one paved airport on the islands. It was at a place called Port Stanley, and the British had actually built this runway themselves. So they built it with their own money, but the Argentinians were using it, this runway, to fly their planes, and it was giving them an advantage. So Margaret Thatcher gave a very brave order. She ordered the runway to be bombed. So the British bombed their own runway, but it kept the Argentinian jets from taking off and landing. But ultimately, that was the decision, that tough decision, was the thing that brought that decisive victory to the British. And you know, we need to do the same thing with the enemy in our lives, the enemy that is within us. Sometimes we have to take drastic measures. If a sin pops up, we need to drop a bomb on it. We need to bomb the runways in our lives so that we can keep these fighter jets and the bombs of sin from ever landing in our life. We want a safe place. We don't want to, in our lives, but we don't want to give them a safe place to land. So what am I saying? I'm going back to those three things that I mentioned earlier. Avoid people, avoid places, and avoid predicaments that get you in a place where you are overcome with temptation. Bomb those things in your life. Don't give them access anymore. Because really, the power that you and I have is determined by our purity. So let me sum it up. Three key thoughts. You can tell exactly where a person is by what they are running from. You can tell exactly where a person is by what they are running to. And you can tell exactly where a person is by who they are running with. Those three things, make sure you are running the right direction. Everybody here is running. And your whole life is determined by how you run. Your whole life is determined by these three things. Your whole future is determined by these three things. In verse 23, there's another shift in the metaphor. And the switch is from picturing us as a vessel in the house to servants within the house. And that's what we'll take a look at next time. But I've asked Pat and Sheila to come and teach us this little chorus that I mentioned earlier, to be used of God. To be used of God. I think if you don't know it, you'll learn it pretty quickly. But I hope that you can make it your prayer today. In fact, I want to say, I'd like to do this. I'd like to have you sing it through a couple times. And then on the third time they sing it, if you would like to just come forward, just stand up here at the altar and say, God, I just want to come up here. I'm just going to make this effort to walk to the front to show you how much I desire to be used by you. And you just stand here. If maybe you want to come up here and there's some sin that you need to confess in your life, doesn't matter what you've done, the only thing that matters is where you go from here. And you just want to come and confess that to the Lord, feel free to do that. Nobody's going to ask you any questions, but if you want prayer, I'll be up here. You can just come to me. So could we stand? We'll sing it through two times. Then the third time, if you want to come to the altar this morning, just come. Just come. No begging, no pleading. Just put it out there for you to be able to do that.
God, to sing, to speak, to pray, to be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire.
If not, that's fine.
To pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire.
Make it your prayer, make it an earnest prayer. What you're asking to do is to make God to make you a vessel of honor. And you've taken the first step, and then if you needed to confess any sin, now's the time. You know what we tend to do? We tend to apply good strategy at the wrong time. We tend to stay put when we should run. And sometimes we should run to the altar, and we miss that opportunity to meet with God, and we stay where we're at. So don't apply the good strategy, but at the wrong time. Now is the time for you to run to the Lord and run away from these things. So one last time we'll sing this, and I'll pray, and we'll go on from there.
To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. of God to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire, to be used of God is my desire.
Father, we come to You today. It's on our heart. Those gathered here, and I'm sure some, not everybody came, but they still have that desire to be used by You, to be a vessel of honor, that we would be sanctified, we'd be set apart for You, and Lord, that we would be of service to You. Lord, I pray that You would bless each one here today, and may Your anointing rest upon them and fall upon them. Holy Spirit, that you would just cleanse us and purify us and just bring whatever dross is there to the surface. Lord, that it could be done away with in our lives so that we could be clean in Your sight. Lord, this world needs the believers who are true and faithful and righteous and strong. We need to be lights in the midst of this dark world to give our world hope. And to point people to the only one who can save them, the only one that can really help the individual and our nation and our world, the only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today we just humbly ask that the excellency of Your Spirit would rest upon us. And Lord, pull back the veil in our lives so that people could see You. Not us, but they would glorify You and people would see You through our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.